Hello and welcome to another episode of the Daily Objective. Today it's day 160 of the war is in Israel. My name is Daniel, and today joining me is Jonathan Honig. Hey, Jonathan, how are you doing?
Great to be with you, Dana. Good evening, good morning, and glad to see our online philosophy posse joining us once again for the discussion.
So today we're going to talk about something that we've talked about in the past a little bit. We're going to cover two specific stories that happened, as well as maybe some personal experiences. And it's the huge rise of anti-Jewish crime after October 7th. So let's go straight into it. Jonathan, would you like to introduce the first story we have?
Yeah, sure. I mean, here's one that of the many you pulled out, Daniel. This is from the Bay Area, where a former Lyft driver was arrested and charged with a federal hate crime for allegedly striking a passenger in the face at the airport after learning that he was an Israeli Jew. The victim is an Israeli tech worker, San Jose resident, who asked not to be named out of concern for his safety. Just one example of kind of an everyday incident. This wasn't like in the middle of a rally or just kind of like going about one's daily life, where it seems like straight up violence just upon learning that someone might happen to be Jewish, let alone supportive of Israel's efforts in Israel, Israel's efforts in the Middle East, leads in an attack, a physical attack.
Yeah, and what's really disheartening about this story, it's not even that he learned that he's Jewish or something. He straight up asked. I think that was in the story. The Lyft driver asked, "Well, are you Jewish or are you Israeli?" And after learning that, he said, "Okay, I will not, I will not drive anyone who is Jewish or Israeli." And then he punched him. Thankfully, he was arrested, and it looks like he'll be spending the max sentence penalty, which is 10 years in prison and a fine of $250,000. So I'm glad to see there is something happening about it. But yeah, this straight up, I mean, there was this one statistic I found, basically that when 9/11 happened, there was a huge spike of hate crimes against the Arab population in America, and after October 7th there were huge spikes against his Jewish population, and it's much bigger actually than after 9/11. Which, I mean, Jonathan, what do you think causes this? I mean, it's not like, I mean, any hate crimes even against Arabs after 9/11 was of course bad. Those people didn't have anything to do with it, but it's not like Israelis are even on the side of the aggressors.
Well, I certainly see it and feel it. I mean, Daniel, I've been asked in Ubers before. I know we were going to share some of our personal experiences. I've been asked in Ubers before, "Are you Jewish?" I've had this type of Middle Eastern Islamist violence come at me in the streets of Chicago. I've told this story. We can tell it again a couple of years ago. So, I mean, I think there's like a tribalist fervor now that kind of transcends everyday normal life. And it's just amazing to me that in civilized streets, I mean, it's one thing when you see this type of, this tribal warfare, and frankly, in, kind of caves in the Middle East. But when you see this rage come into somebody's face upon learning that you happen to be Jewish, and then move on to actually physically assault you in the middle of like a modern city. This is a place where ideas matter. This is a place where reason matters. To see modern society kind of divesting into this tribal warfare. And look, here in Chicago, I know one of our stories here, this was another one that happened just in my own backyard. There was a man, a Jewish man, was attacked by anti-Israel protesters at the screening of that documentary. There was a documentary about the October 7th massacre called Nova, obviously kind of centered around
Festival.
the festival that they were all at. And they simply attacked a guy for holding an Israeli flag. So there's this kind of street warfare now that is so alien to someone who believes in reason and modernity. And even in the best cities in the world, it's frightening increasingly just to show your face.
Yeah, and something that was surprising again about this story is, whenever there's like a pro-Palestinian protest, they always try to say, we are not anti-Jewish, we are not anti-Semitic, we are just anti-Zionist or we are against Israel. And even in this story, the protesters were called anti-Israel protesters, and I think even in the news they call them anti-Israel protests. I mean, what were they protesting? They were protesting a screening of a documentary. Yeah, capturing the tragedy that happened on October 7th. There is no it doesn't even talk about the war, doesn't talk about the IDF actions afterwards. It's just a documentary, showing what happened on that day. And I don't believe these people. This is not just anti-Israel. They didn't attack the guy because he's Israeli. They attacked him because he's Jewish. There is no like way around it.
But why is it, Daniel? And look, here in Chicago, and I know all over Europe, there's these regular street blockades, and they call them protests, but people stopping traffic and basically stopping the middle of a whole freeway or an interstate with their Free Palestine little banners, etc. And why is it that this is seen as they're the good guys? They're moral, they're virtuous, they're really, we all know that they're really fighting for what's right. And Israel and I guess Jews by proxy are seen as I don't know, guilty, as aggressors, as really they're behind this, and really that they had it coming. It's like the anti-Israel, the anti-Jewish faction has kind of the moral sanction. They seem to have the moral sanction of the young, and maybe even the world writ large.
I think at the end of the day, as with many things, it all comes back to altruism. Because the Jews are successful, because whether we talk about specifically the country of Israel, who in the past was able to overwhelm the Arab nations, or even now that it's able to retaliate, or when you talk about, Jewish successful businessmen, people in power, it's all about altruism. It's these people are successful, so they cannot be good. The only way you could get rich, the only way you could be successful is because you're screwing someone over. And that's the lens everyone looks at this thing from.
There's that quote from Miss Rand, Ayn Rand, where maybe someone in the chat can kind of report it accurately, but basically, she talked about how she speaks up in the face of anti-Semitism, and that's when she identifies as being Jewish. And I have to say, Daniel, as I said, I mean, sometimes I'm asked, are you Jewish in seemingly an unfriendly setting? And I don't know if I'm kind of giving up on my values, but I either don't answer or I have to tell you, I say no. I mean, I'm in an Uber with someone I don't know. I don't have any weapons or training on me. And, as I said, I have been attacked by, I can only describe as religious zealots. This is going on maybe 3 or 4 years ago now. There was something going on in Israel, in the Middle East, causing these pro-Palestinians to do all types of street takeovers, doing donuts in the middle of the streets with their flags. And this was going on for years ago. And I told this story with Mark Pellegrino on the channel a couple months ago now. I was on the phone and these people are disrupting traffic and honking their horns. And I gave them, as Mark said, the Italian two-fingered salute. And, I thought nothing of it. It was my way of saying, shut the fuck up. I mean, you are disrupting everything now. I kept walking on my way. I was with a friend. And wouldn't you know it, about 5 minutes later, this band of at least three or four guys came, parked their car, found me, and beat me up in the middle of the street. And, in the middle of the street, my head hit the pavement right in front of a Starbucks. So, yeah, I'm scared. I mean, as a Jew, but even as like a rational American, as a rational Westerner, that this type of violence is getting out of hand. And it's, it's extraordinarily scary. And the fact that they have the moral high ground, it makes me sick.
And as you said, I mean, imagine. So we have someone who comes. I don't want to say name because I don't know if he wants to say, but we have someone who comes on show and he talks about his stories that he's not Jewish, but he is often confused as being Jewish. And he's been yelled at on streets. He's been assaulted. I mean, imagine you're just a normal person going about your daily life, and maybe something is happening in Israel. You don't care about politics. You don't care about it. And random people are stopping you, yelling at you, attacking you for nothing you've done, just because you belong to some tribalist group. They decided somehow that is at fault here now.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. It's like, in a free society, there's that an individualist, in my opinion, respects other people's individual rights to make their own choices and to be their own persons. I think there's somewhere in Rand's work corpus where it's talked about, in effect, if you want to be a socialist in a capitalist environment, you can. You go be a socialist, you could have your commune and do whatever you want. But the idea of, physically attacking someone for no other reason than their skin color, their gender, anything, certainly something that they didn't choose, let alone there's something as unimportant as their religion, their religious beliefs. I don't believe in God, but certainly I don't go around attacking people who do. Leave them to their own corruption. But Daniel, as you alluded to, the fact that now simply identifying as, and Rand, I know my belief, Rand didn't believe she was Jewish in the sense that she wasn't a practicing Jew, but she identified, again, this is my interpretation, as being part of that tribal history in the face of this blatant, irrational, anti-Western anti-Semitism. So, maybe I need a little bit more courage to speak up, but, these are really tough streets. And I've seen, I live downtown Chicago, I've lived here for 20 years, and I've just seen too many situations escalate where all of a sudden there's punches being thrown and certainly weapons being produced. And I'm not going to make myself a martyr, especially given the way the culture is going.
Yeah, you brought up this point about if someone asks you if you're Jewish, you are afraid to say so, even if you might be or might disagree with what it means to be, you're still afraid so. And yeah, that's something. Look, because whenever someone asks, and it usually, when I play online video games, it happens often when people like ask you about your nationality or something in a like this sort of mean way, and whenever. And they could be even wrong, but whenever someone asks me, well, are you this? Are you Jewish or are you gay? Are you whatever? Even if I'm not, I'm like, well, and what's wrong if I am? And I almost want to defend whatever identity that is, just because even if I was, it doesn't give you any right to do anything different than if I'm not that. So that brings me to a personal story I wanted to bring that I remember from my high school. We had, I think it was like social class. I cannot remember exactly what the name. A civics class, and we were discussing like different minorities in Slovakia. And something when you think about Eastern European nations is all of them have. Usually, the biggest minority in those countries is the Romani people, or like a nomadic people that don't have a nation but are in all of these different nations. And there is a lot of racism against these people in all these countries. So
What
we
is the
had
name?
a
I didn't hear. What is the name that you said?
Romani.
Romani.
Gypsies is what's often
Gypsies.
said. But, well, gypsies
Never
is
even
like a
heard that one.
slur. It's like a, it, at least here, it's considered a slur.
Okay.
So that's why you say Romani people. But yeah, what happened? We had like a test, and the base of the test was, would you mind if this person was living next to you? And it had like, gay person, Romani person, Jewish person, all like different minorities, all different people. And there is this like hatred for Romanis, but more people said they would be okay with these people than with Jews. Only two people said they would be okay with living next to Jews, and that's a class of 30 people. It was like me and one other person. My best friend said he would not be okay with like living next to Jews. And this is a city that has a synagogue, that had Jews living in it, that still has a Jewish memorial, because we know what happened in World War II. It's crazy the amount of like anti-Semitism that's still.
It's like so backward, and especially in a city where part of what I have always loved about living in a city is that you bring together all these interesting different backgrounds, and they're all it's like, would I have a problem living next to a, what is it called, Romani? Or I mean, as long as they paid their assessments and said, it's like, as long as they act rationally, who cares where their history is or color? I mean, to me, that's always what I've loved about living in Chicago, all the different diversity of food and culture and theater and interesting accents and people's histories, and all living together rationally, respecting rights, respecting property rights, trading with each other. Like, and when people treat each other as individuals, it works. It's so beautiful, it's so respectful, and it's so honest. And Daniel just said, it's like now we're reverting back in this idea of like, well, I can't live next to this color. I can't live next to that color. It's like we're going in reverse, and it's just such an ominous sign that that type of tribalism, which Rand wrote about 30 plus years ago, is coming back in force against Jews and first and foremost, but many others as well.
Yeah, and people, well, especially on the right, often speak out against this idea of globalism and really preferring like living locally, just living amongst your people or whatever. But this is such a. Oh, do you want to bring something in
Well, I
before?
have to mention now, Michael is a YouTube member, which we really appreciate. It's part of what keeps us. We give you 90 minutes of live Objectivist original programming from great minds inspired by Russ Rand every day, 7 days a week. We do it thanks to people like Michael. They're YouTube members. It's like £5 a month. It's not very expensive, but it really helps us keep this going. But Daniel says, WTF, as long as they pay their assessments, you call yourself an objectivist? Michael, I'm saying if you live in a condo building, each of the condo owners is responsible for paying their assessments. So that's paying the keep it to, it's paying your responsibility as a property owner to keep the building going. So that's my point, is I don't mind who lives in my condo building as long as they keep up their end of the financial bargain we're in as condo owners and respect property rights. And in fact, there's people in my building from all over the world, young people, old people, and they're all valued, treasured neighbors. And none of them, to my knowledge, want to attack me because I'm Jewish. And thank you for your contribution and your support.
Something I wanted to bring out about this idea of globalization, and I think this is why it's important to really like travel around, find out about different cultures, find out about different people, is because I see, especially because I live in like a rural area, most of these people have never traveled. And one time I took my I think it was my mom, my sister, and my nephew into London, and some of the things my mom said were really racist, but it's something you, but she doesn't think of it that way. It's something that, just ignorance, just straight up ignorance. And I'm wondering how much of this hatred is fueled by ignorance. I don't think you can make a case for it in like a city which already you grew up with different cultures. So yeah, I cannot.
I
Yeah.
mean, get back to your point too about altruism, kind of, and fundamental ideas driving all of it. That's kind of the basic framework. So that even when people can be kind of encounter better ideas, it seems like if they have that base coat of paint of altruism, it's very hard to extricate themselves from it and to kind of see beyond that. And I think that's what's so frustrating. At least here where I am, a lot of the biggest sympathetic voices for I should say sympathetic voices for the Palestinians, but I should say more like aggressive voices towards Israel and towards Jews are other so-called disadvantaged groups, Latino American type groups, African American type groups, people that have traditionally been assumed to be part of like a disenfranchised or dis, an underclass, if you will, seem to be, at least on my Twitter feeds, the loudest voices of support for, I don't know, terrorism, when you invade a country and rape and murder all these people on October 7th, that what are really other is or word for it. So you've seen this kind of terrible global empathy for really bad ideas. And it's spurred on by the people who attack Jews and give their support towards the worst of humanity.
Yeah, we've seen the similar things with specifically the country of Ireland, who, you know, in the past used to be under, if you want to say, under British occupation or under British rule for a long time. And, you know, there was a long conflict over that. And they are the biggest supporter of Palestinians, or, I mean, honestly, of Hamas, if you really think about it. Many people have this very, like, almost like a, I don't want to say simple-minded, because I don't want to be too aggressive towards someone. But yeah, this sort of, like, very simple view of any conflict. You know, they look at either, when it came to Ukraine and Russia, it's just the smaller, this one is the smaller one, weaker one, this one is the bigger one, we support the weaker one. Same in the Israel and Palestine, we support the weaker Palestine. Or we just look at, you know, there's babies dying, ignore everything else, there's babies dying. I think this is a quote Kirk Wilcox, who we often have on the show, uses: what about the children is the worst yet the most effective way to drive politics, basically. Just ask, well, what about the children?
There was a great Simpsons. There's like a whole Simpsons riff about that. What about the children? Thank you, Bonnie, for your contribution. Thank you, Apollo Zeus, for your contribution, and all the other YouTube members that kind of keep us going. And I think, Daniel, you kind of, I know we're off at the top of the hour, but kind of wrapping up where we started, just the idea that American Jews, I would say worldwide Jews, and not too far from that, worldwide Westerners are targets now. There's like everyday street side violence that this conflict in the Middle East, I think, has introduced. And I consider blocking traffic over and over again street side violence. I mean, you're, forget like the people in ambulances you're putting at risk. I mean, you're really, tremendous amount of machinery and manpower you're putting really in danger. I consider that to be violence. And it's every day now. We've talked about some of these attacks, and you know, it's increasingly frightening. And I don't know what can one do other than speak out and protect him or herself. But, you know, you're really putting, I think you're putting yourself at risk when you self-identify, certainly by yourself, as being Jewish, with unknown adversaries. I think, you know, I don't think that's, as I said, being a martyr. I think it's just being street smart from someone who's been attacked for just that reason.
Yeah, I mean, just since October 7th, the Jewish United Front said that there's been an increase in anti-Semitic incidents by 360%. That's since October 7th. And again, it's not like Israel is some kind of aggressor. They are victims of aggression, yet these attacks are happening against, again, people that... that don't have anything to do with it. Just because you're Jewish, you know, it doesn't even mean you support Israel, doesn't mean you have anything to do with Israel, yet you're still victim of these attacks. And talking about this protest, we are on the reality show. The one of the side topics we're going to talk about is the new definition of extremism that the British government is coming up with, seemingly to target Islamicist and Nazi groups. So we'll talk about that on the reality show, as well as Biden versus Israel. We'll talk about that as well.
Well, I mean, you know, I'll mention the book, A New Textbook of Americanism, which I published a number of years ago now with the Ayn Rand Institute and a lot of great objectivist scholars. And, you know, Rand starts this political treatise with like the very basic thing of the basic issue in the world today is between two principles, individualism and collectivism. And then she outlines all those. Like, this is just one of those, another one of those situations where too many people just start from this implicitly collectivist premise. They're part of a tribe. They think anyone who's not part of that tribe is against them. And there's no sense of individualism at all. And that's part of what I loved about learning about Rand, my own exploration, is that it's so freeing to explore yourself as an individual and others as individuals. And it just opens up such a rich tapestry of a world, as against seeing people as part of these indistinguishable groups, basically treating them like cattle. And if your estimation is, well, all Jews act like this, all blacks act like this, all Chinese act like this, you're talking about people like animals, which they're not. And it's just that whole collectivist mindset, which leads to Jews being attacked on the street, among others, is just straight up effing barnyard. And I believe objectivism rejects it. And God knows I do as well.
And with that, we have the reality show coming up in just a few minutes. Thank you, Jonathan, for joining me today. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you in a bit, and bye-bye.